Thanks for joining us at Cults to Consciousness. This storytelling podcast is meant to be for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for any medical advice. We may discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health a priority. Lastly, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the host.
It wasn't necessarily that I was repressing my sexuality, it was that I didn't know that something was wrong. Just thought I was super righteous. I don't have that temptation because I'm reading my scriptures and I'm such a good Mormon girl. I don't have that temptation that I want to have sex with my boyfriend, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I thought I was just like God's chosen person.
Hey, my name is Shalise Ansola, and this is Cults to Consciousness, where we discuss leaving high-demand religions and organizations and finding healing and independence through awareness and true individual sovereignty. If you're listening only on a podcast app and you want to see our faces, head on over to YouTube at Cults to Consciousness. It would mean the world if you could like and subscribe, leave a comment. If you have any guests that you want to see on the show, leave that below, and you may just be featured on another episode. So today's guest, this is our second threesome, and I'm really pumped about it. I have two women here who are incredible, who are inspiring. You may have seen them on the Hulu documentary, Mormon No More, which discusses all of the hardships when you are born and raised in the Mormon church, or you join the Mormon church and you are LGBTQ plus, things that are just really, really difficult about navigating that space in the religion.
I felt very devoted to Mormonism. When you find out the truth, it's earth-shattering.
I was Mormon for 20 years. I was so deeply entrenched in Mormonism, like I was in it to win it. Like it was my life.
That was really hard for me, the speed of which it all happened. It just flipped my whole world upside down.
She just said, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry.
What nobody tells you when you're Mormon is that there actually is another way.
These two beautiful women fell in love with each other after already being married and having kids with men. Just so inspiring, their love story. So the show talks about that. It discusses other issues and follows other people's stories. So now they have their own podcast called Peace Out, which is helping other people come out of their religions or come out of the closet in a safe and healthy way. So I cannot wait to speak to these two. Thank you so much for joining us, Sal and Lena.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah.
Super excited.
Yes, of course. I was so happy when you reached out because I have, of course, seen your story pop up in the ex-Mormon spaces. It's a very tight-knit community, and I had been following Sal for a little bit. And so when you're like, hey, let's do a podcast swap, I was like, yes, absolutely. So I'm happy we can connect in that way. And just more people on the team of helping others find peace and sovereignty, right?
For sure. And I'm all about like amplifying each other's voices and bringing more visibility in all the spaces. I find that the right people always find what they need to find. And so, you know, more people will find what they need to get to the next step on their journey. And I feel like your voice is obviously needed considering how fast you're growing.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I do think it's important to support all of the creators in this space. We don't see each other as competition. Everyone has something different to offer. Your perspective is completely different than my perspective. We each have our unique gifts. So yeah, I'm just happy to be another person on the team.
Yeah. Yeah. We feel that way too. That's awesome. And I love that mentality of just everyone supporting everyone. Because I think a lot of times we have this idea where when we do something for ourselves or we come in the spotlight that we think that someone else shouldn't be in the spotlight or they can't do what they want to do. And that's the opposite. I'm like encouraging everyone to step into the spotlight. We're all the main characters of our own story, right? And that's not something Mormonism taught us. So it's kind of a rewiring for all of us to be like, take up space, be the main character. Like everyone gets to do this. This is your life.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of main characters in the story, I want to talk about Mormon No More. So, such a cool documentary. It's so relatable. I mean, I'm sure it's helped so many people feel not so alone in their journeys. And I think it's the first documentary. There's, unfortunately for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there have been many documentaries coming out recently that don't paint them in the best light. But I think yours was the first that really focused on the LGBTQ community, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's our podcast Peace Out came out in the winter of 2021. And we were approached by producers about 2 or 3 months into it. So they featured one guest from our podcast on each episode, and there's 4 episodes in the series.
Yes. I'm so glad that you said that, because I was just about to ask, how did that come about? Because it's so well produced and put together, and it's on Hulu. That's a really big deal. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So you were approached and they just said, we want to tell your story. I think what's interesting is we follow it kind of in real time, the planning of the wedding, which is not an easy feat. I know I'm in the throes of it all, planning a wedding and seeing the dynamics between your family, between your exes. It was, it felt kind of like a reality show, but like a heartfelt reality show that you actually wanted to stick around and see what happened to the characters. So what was that like during the filming process? How long did it take from start to finish?
We started filming in May of 2021. And then we finished in May of 2022. So it was about a year-long process.
We had
a photo that we collabed with for same-sex parents on Instagram that went viral. And it just so happened that our producer, who's queer and a mom, had been following that account. And so she saw the photo come up and just like fell for our story, reached out. Within 24 hours, we were like on the phone and planning everything and mapping it out. They came out and filmed a sizzle reel in May. We got signed and did everything within that summer. And then they did. They followed us for the 3rd year of our relationship up until our marriage. And it was, I mean, it definitely wasn't easy. I wouldn't say it was an easy process, but it was like all the whole entire journey throughout every filming series, all the weekends or during the week, whenever they came. It was a process I think we all were so committed to. Like everyone in the filming process and sound and, you know, Sal and I and our family and the producers, everyone behind the scenes was so committed to this passion project that it was very intentional. It felt intentional. Like the time we spent doing it felt like it was bigger than us. You know, we were investing in this project that was making ripple effects in ways that we will never, ever, ever know.
Yeah. Did you have anything to add, Sal?
I mean, I did have a hard time filming. It was a really beautiful experience, and I did feel really quickly that it was bigger than us and that we were doing something that was going to help people. And I was willing to go through the grueling long hours and answer the same question 100 times in 100 different ways. Redo certain walks down the beach and, you know, drag the kids around a little bit and, you know, put myself out there in a way that, you know, I typically wouldn't do because I was so overwhelmed with the opportunity. Like I knew that not everybody's going to get this opportunity. And I wanted to make sure that I used my experience to, be able to help the person that's going through it or that might go through it in the future or that is struggling with, you know, any kind of situation, leaving a religion, having their kid come out, going through divorce, all kinds of different people can relate to the story in a certain kind of way. Like I think everyone can relate to it in one way or another. And so I felt like some force, like carrying us through the process. It got really hard at the end. And I felt like some momentum. Like it wasn't just us. It was like this whole movement that was allowing us to complete this process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did it without pay. Like it was all voluntary. And something that a lot of people don't know. Most people think that, you know, it's like a reality show. So it's a paid project, but it was through ABC News and Hulu. And so because it's from a news network, it's considered unethical to pay the people. So we did. We spent, you know, a year of our lives, and like she said, sometimes 12-hour days. And for stretches of time, at one point, there were 13 days of filming in a row without breaks.
Oh.
And that was really grueling for us and for our relationship and our kids and, you know, just everything. I'm sure you can imagine the, like, intricacies of that.
I think that's when they got their best content, though.
Yeah, that's when. if you want to get into it.
They wore us down so that they could get the realness, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But what you guys did was so brave. And actually, I think I cried in a couple parts. It was really heartfelt and it was very real. And to give people more context, I want to come back to this, but let's fill people in a little bit on your stories personally about how we got to this point, and then we'll pick up where we left off. So who wants to go first talking about your Mormon story?
Yeah, we don't have to make it long. We do have a Mormon stories episode that is
6 hours.
Just a quick 6 hours. Oh my.
I'll link it for everybody.
If you want the details, you can go there. But basically, I was raised Mormon. I was, you know, typical, born in the covenant with pioneer heritage in my blood.
Same.
And there's 5 kids in my family, and I was a tomboy, but, you know, I didn't have being gay in my context of anything in my life. I was a high achiever as a kid, kind of as a distraction I see now. And I ended up going to BYU, and I got married when I was barely 2 weeks after my 20th birthday. You know, we were typical, but, you know, I always knew that other people had a certain kind of energy in their relationship that I didn't have. But I kind of just sucked it up and said, well, things are great in other areas, and, you know, we can work it out eventually. And when I had my first kid, I was like, okay, this is what my life is going to be about now. So I just committed my life to being a mom and really dove in there. And then when I was pregnant with my third child, my ex-husband, he had a faith crisis. He came upon some information, and so that rocked our world, and we were really stressed out, and we ended up seeing a therapist that kind of convinced me to look into things and to have an open mind. And I ended up doing that and had my own faith crisis, and everything fell down, and it was insanely difficult. And my family, my mom and dad, you know, that was rocked their world as well. And I went through the typical ex-Mormon in your 30s couple thing where you, like, you're reevaluating your life, taking everything apart and deciding what we feel now, what are our values, and kind of picking apart every piece of our life, because when you leave the church, you lose everything. You got to reevaluate everything. And so sexuality was definitely something that was on my mind, and something that I was, you know, kind of digging into a little bit. I was really cautious, and I wasn't like jumping into the swingers like some people do. I was like pretty hesitant and wanted to be thoughtful, but I was very into mindfulness at that point. I was meditating, and I was reading all the psychology and getting into yoga and all this kind of stuff. So I was really committed to myself and whatever was to come up. And I was committed to not lying to myself anymore, like I had done in the church. Mm-hmm. And at the point that I met Lena. And so then when I met Lena, I think I was just very tuned into myself and tuned into energy frequencies. And that's how I was able to recognize that something different was happening, you know, when I met her.
There were a lot of great quotes on the Mormon No More show from the authorities and talking about how you shouldn't be gay and all these things. Do you think that is what caused you to completely shut off that side of you? Do you think you were just focused on the doing the exact right things and being a mom and marrying a husband in the temple? What was going through your mind when you were younger?
Well, I lived in North Idaho, and there were no gay people, like, at all. Turns out there were, but they weren't out, you know, like nobody was out. And so
I was not given the opportunity to consider that I wasn't straight. Like, I literally didn't even think about it. Like, looking back, I mean, I had dreams about girls. I definitely had crushes on girls. I definitely, like, wasn't into guys. Like, it's so clear looking back at myself at that age. But I didn't connect the dots because nobody told me that there were dots to connect. Like,
that was an option.
I literally didn't have that frame of reference. It literally was an awakening. When I realized I was gay, it was like realizing the church isn't true. When you're kind of a black and white thinker, you know, it was like a light bulb. Like, oh, duh, it was right in front of my face this whole time. But like, I didn't have that context. And so it wasn't necessarily that I was repressing my sexuality. It was that I was confused and didn't know that something was wrong, didn't know what it was, didn't understand, and just thought like I was super righteous. Like, oh, God, I don't have that temptation because I'm reading my scriptures and I'm such a good Mormon girl. I don't have that temptation that I want to have sex with my boyfriend, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, I thought I was just like, you know, God's chosen person. And then when I got married, it was like, oh, shit, like, this isn't very fun. Like, this sucks.
Right.
But you just did the tokens and the signs and the temple and the robe and you can't take it back. So you got to figure it out, right?
Yeah, that makes sense when you're not really exposed to anything, which is a big reason I love what you guys are doing, is because you're showing people that there are options and that you don't have to fit into certain boxes. It's okay to be different and it's celebrated to be different. Yeah. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Lena, your turn.
Yeah, no, I was just feeling the truth of what you were just saying, and like my whole body is like vibrating now thinking about that. The visibility. You know, imagine if we'd had a show like ours when we were younger, our life would have been so different.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, there's something beautiful about the process of filming our experience because we got to relive it over and over again. And every time we're featured on a podcast or we're asked about the show, it's like I get to embody that space again where I fell in love and the rediscovery of myself. You know, like the whole idea of awakening to myself. And I was active until the day I came out. So I literally gave a church on Easter Sunday and I came out Friday. I gave a talk in church. Sunday, Easter Sunday comes around. I invite her and she comes and like hears me speak. And then that Friday, we're like, oh my God, we're in love.
Oh.
I never went back to church after that Sunday that I spoke. And so it was really just crazy how it like went through all the way to the end. But I grew up here in Southern California in Huntington Beach to a big giant Italian family and very Catholic. And I don't know, I think there were just different things in my life that made me feel really spiritually connected to myself. My family was always visiting cemeteries. And so I was an only child and I just felt this connection to the after world, like whatever was beyond what we couldn't see and where do these people go when they die. And my sense of spirituality was just, I was always very curious. And so I had a best friend die in high school and I went on this like spiritual quest thinking somebody has to know, like somebody, people know, and they're just not telling me what the real deal is here with like where we go when we die and how are we so sure. And let's like, as a teenager in my naive brain, I was thinking I'm going to find it. Like, I will find all the answers. And lo and behold, all my Mormon friends had the answers. Like, they were so sure. It wasn't just one of them or five of them. It was every single Mormon I ever knew across the world, right? Not just in California or in Vegas or, like, in Italy where I serve my mission. Like, everyone has the same vernacular, and we all connect in that way. And so, yeah, I got baptized at BYU when I was 18. Served a mission in Italy at 21, came home, married my ex-husband in the Vegas temple. And then we were married for 13 years. We had four kids together. My third son started talking about things related to his sexuality when he was like three. After primary one day, he asked me, you know, if he could marry a boy in the temple. And I remember, that was kind of one of those core memory moments in life where you can like go back and you know what you're wearing and you know what the room looks like that you're in and the people there and the space, because it was just like the whole world and time and everything stood still, you know? It was like a boom.
Yeah.
Like everything in my life shifted. Because in a moment's notice without, you know, any questioning whatsoever, I chose my child over God. I chose my child over this Heavenly Father figure, this church, this organization, this Jesus, this Joseph Smith, this Book of Mormon. I chose my son over all of it within a second, you know? And it was like, I won't ever put him in a situation where he will feel less than and want to die because he's different, or he doesn't have the same rights and privileges as my other kids do to the celestial kingdom because he wants to be with the boy. Anyway, long story short, it took us a few years to transition out of that. And honestly, we were just going physically because our ward in Washington, D.C. was so open about him and welcoming of his like feminine qualities and personality and spunk that it didn't ever feel unsafe. But as soon as we moved to California, we moved into a ward that Sally had left. So her best friend in the ward was always talking to me about her and saying like, you need to meet her. She's great. You're going to love her. And I just like randomly run into her at the kids' school one day and like, seriously, like took my breath away. I was like, oh, like, what is happening in my body? Like, what is this? I'm like sweating. Oh, you know, it was just a moment that like showed me everything that I ever wanted in life. I was just telling her this last night that I think I didn't ever really see myself like outside of motherhood, you know, like I didn't know that I had needs that were romantic or wanting connection with a partner. I think I was just kind of going through the motions, and I was this sad, lonely, repressed housewife that was doing her due diligence and checking all the boxes and showing up for my family, that when I saw her, it was the first time my body like responded this way and saw something that I didn't have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's how it was with my fiance. It was definitely my body going, oh yeah, we're picking him. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board.
That's sweet. That is so cute. Yeah, we just became mom friends and hung out all the time until Sal was just, she's herself, even though now she's like a much more aware version of herself, she was still herself then, which is honest, deliberate, very direct, can't lie, you know? And so she was saying things to me like, hey, do you feel like what's going on here? Can you tell me? I mean, I'm feeling a connection with you. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm Googling it. Like, I'm talking to my husband about it. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, we got home from camping with our families, husbands included, and she's just Googling, like, what does it mean when you can't stop thinking about your friend?
Aww.
Grilling me. And I'm like, girlfriend, listen. You have been coming on to me, all right? Like, there's some tension here, some attraction here. And she was like, what? Oh my goodness. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. That's so sweet. I love that so much. It was just the undeniable attraction. So for you then, Lena, when you said that the day you left the church is the day you came out, had you been questioning the doctrine at all up until that point? Like you said, you were kind of just going through the motions in church. Was it because of the doctrine or something just fell off?
Good question. So I think that I like intrinsically always believed in Jesus because I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think every part of me ever felt like 100% the Mormon church is the only true church on the earth.
Mm.
Just because I was a convert. In my formative years, I was taught, you know, things can look so different. So it wasn't as scary for me, the idea of leaving, just because I knew what it was like to be on the outside. So I wasn't necessarily indoctrinated from birth. However, I did have a strong testimony. I went on a mission. I raised my kids Mormon. Like, obviously, there was a lot to lose there. But like I said, I just felt this motherly intuition in that moment when my son was asking if he can marry a boy in the temple, that like, I would give it all up for him and it didn't matter if it were true.
So it's not so much about the doctrine.
Yeah.
The doctrine and this, you know, the CES letter and coming in contact with Mormon stories and all of that didn't happen until I'd already been out for 4 months. So I didn't even start like going through any of the church history or anything until then, because I was still trying to just land on my feet after coming out and realizing I was gay.
Yeah. Were you having any sort of feelings on your mission because you're paired with other women? Did you have any sort of sense of like, oh, I like this way more than hanging out with guys?
No. Oh my goodness. She only likes me. No. It's so funny. It's so funny because I thought like I was just asexual. You know, I just thought, because like she was saying, if you're not accustomed to seeing lesbians, if you're not, in fact, the lesbians that I did know growing up were like all police officers or PE teachers, and I just didn't see myself. I'm very straight passing. And so as a straight passing person, it's even more confusing because the world tells you and reflects back to you that you're supposed to be with a man.
Right.
And so there wasn't any part of me that was like, oh yeah, I'm gay. No, never, never. Like sometimes I'd lay in my bed at night as a kid and wonder like, I don't have the same kind of crush on boys that other girls do my age. I wonder if I'm gay. And then instantly my body would be like, no, you're not. No, of course not. Why? You know, like I would just talk myself out of it instantly. Then, you know, after you come out later in life, fast forward 30 something years, and I am talking to other people, especially therapists, and they're like, well, if you've ever sat and asked yourself that, then you're gay. I didn't know that at the time when I was a kid. I just thought I didn't like boys as much as other girls did, you know?
Wow. And do you think the reason that you were so against it was because of the church as well, kind of that indoctrination into what you were supposed to be?
Her grandma told her it was a sin and she'd go to hell. Yeah.
So a different religion.
Yeah. My Catholic family was pretty homophobic for sure. Yeah.
Oof, that's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just Mormonism that oppresses LGBTQ people. It is so many religions and other cults, right?
Yeah.
How long were you friends before you were like, I think we're more than friends?
6 months? Yeah, probably 6 months before Sally kept pushing me and asking me what was going on.
Okay.
So Sunday I gave that talk, and then Friday, April 26th was
the D-Day.
The conversation.
And Sal, you had already left the church at this point, right? So it was like an easy, oh, this all just fits together.
Oh, it was not easy because I was married.
Oh, you were both still married. That's right. Yeah, we were married. That's right.
Yeah, no, I was freaking the fuck out. I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I always describe this as the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It's similar to when you realize the church isn't true, because you are like, yay, I have the answer to this dissonance that I've felt for so long. It's such a relief. And then all of a sudden you're like, but shit, what do I do now? I don't know anything. I don't believe in anything. What is God? What is life? Like, it was a similar feeling, because it was like, finally, I know what has been going on for so long and why I couldn't figure this out, and why like my marriage was struggling in this way, and how I can be myself. It was like so beautiful to like admit it to myself and feel that wholeness, and at the same time the most gut-wrenching, terrifying, what am I going to do to my family, my kids, my husband, my parents, my community? Like, what does this mean for all of us? Like, this is the heaviest thing ever, you know? It's really scary.
Yeah. If you could paint a picture for people who may be in the same situation where they're either leaving their religion or leaving a marriage, what was the hardest part and what was the part that gave you the most hope to keep going, and how did you emerge from that? Both of you can answer this question. How, because I'm sure there was a lot of dark night of the soul happening with everything coming crashing down at once. Just a faith crisis alone is hard enough, but to reconfigure your families, to put them back together Brady Bunch style, and they're thriving now. So I guess, spoiler alert, your kids are doing amazing. At least it seemed from the documentary, they're happy and healthy, and there's a lot of great co-parenting going on. But just to share some of those dark moments for relatability for our audience.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what was the hardest part of the process, definitely coming out to my ex-husband and needing to bring this to light for myself, and knowing that if I didn't, that I would die a slow death on the inside, and that I would have to forever betray myself and be unhappy, or say it and hurt people, you know, but most importantly, my ex-husband, and know that I was going to shatter his vision of what our life was going to look like. And I wouldn't say that it, like, in any way was easy, but the silver lining is that on the other side of all of that discomfort is this really beautiful relationship that we have, where we can raise our kids together, even though we don't live in the same house. There's so much respect on both sides. For one, I think me being honest and not letting it drag on, you know, not holding it in me and like lying to him, right? There wasn't infidelity. It was discover this about ourselves. We talked to our spouses. And I think not to shame anyone who hasn't done it this way, but what has maintained this relationship and kept everyone feeling this cohesion is that there has been honesty throughout this whole process. And I think being honest with myself and then sharing that with him gave him the opportunity to decide how he wanted to be honest with him, with his self, you know, how he wanted to move forward in his life and what that would look like for him. And this is all a process and it's still ongoing. And, you know, we're not even in year four yet. We're like, it's almost been 4 years. And so who knows what it'll look like in 10 years, but to just know that we can all see each other and our humanity and recognize each other's goodness within this, and that there wasn't anyone trying to take anyone down, or there, you know, of course there's hurt feelings, but it was so real and raw and beautiful. And I wouldn't have changed anything. Honestly, I would go back and do it exactly the same, because I know that throughout, all of us have gained so much, and we've all learned how to overcome and evolve and grow as humans and just reflect back each other's goodness. That's the thing that keeps coming up for me. It's like, it's hard, but we made it through. And whatever your circumstance looks like, it might not be exactly the same. Maybe you're not queer, or maybe you weren't Mormon and you're listening to this, but you feel that sense in your life of like living true to myself and making choices that might hurt other people. It's like you have to weigh out the hard, you know, are you going to stay in a circumstance or a situation that's hard for you and let that be your story, like slowly betray yourself, eventually causing more internal harm in your body? Or are you going to maybe let that out and cause some temporary pain and discomfort for the people in your life who you actually are allowing freedom? Like, you're giving them an opportunity to be free, to learn and to grow in different ways. And it might be the hard one to have to like cause that, to be the cause, but it pays off, and it's so, so, so worth it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Because not only are you freeing yourself, but you're giving him the opportunity to find a relationship that is just as fulfilling as the one that you found with Sal. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because if you would have kept that in, because you wanted to avoid the temporary pain, ultimately both of you are suffering, not just you.
Yeah, for sure. Now they get to be married to women that are super into them, hopefully. If they decide to get married. Or at least have experiences with
straight women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy for them.
Yeah, I'm excited for them.
Especially being out of the church and going through this experience, it was everything. And knowing that, like, it's not an or, like, he doesn't have to be happy that I'm gay. He can be happy for me and sad at the same time, my ex, right? And there is deep, deep sorrow and deep, deep grief for my family that I had before, for the family organization that was there before, right? Mm-hmm. And there is also no regrets, absolutely none. Like, I know this is my path. I know this is what I'm meant for. And I also struggle. And that is the human experience. That is not because something is wrong. It's because
something is right. And I am living fully. And when you live fully without those rose-colored glasses, without the protection of the church and the little box and checking off the things and doing everything right, you live out, like out of the shell. And so you feel everything. You feel it. You experience it. And it's freaking hard. It's so hard. But it's what I've chosen. When I chose to leave left the church, like I'm choosing to be out in the open. I don't have that protection anymore, that psychological protection. I'm not in this cozy little cocoon. And so when I came out and I decided to divorce my husband, it was everything. It was hard. It was grueling. It was scary. And it was also beautiful and evolutionary and fulfilling, and we have grown so much. Every single person, there's 11 of us all together with the exes. Wow. And we are all different than we were in such good ways. Our kids have had opportunities that they would never have. Are, you know, they are just thriving. They're doing so well, and we have worked through so much, and now we get to help other people. Now we get to be visible and continue on being human and not being afraid. Like, we are safe to feel these emotions. I tell myself that. I have to tell myself, it's okay that I'm feeling this. Like, this doesn't mean something's wrong. I can sit with this. I can be with this and comfort myself and do the, you know, inner child work and reparenting and all the things. And so if you're going through something hard, it's not because something's wrong. You know, you can just come back to that compass, that integrity, that inner voice that we have to cultivate and work so hard to cultivate after leaving the church. But it is possible, and it is beautiful.
I love that you brought up multiple things can be true at once, because I think that is such a beautiful thing to recognize, that you can have heartache and pain and these beautiful relationships all together, and that's okay. And that's part of life, as you mentioned. And I think part of that is you are opening up not only yourself and your own perspective, but other people around you. So watching the relationships grow over that year period on the show was really inspiring. You had your mother, Sal, who initially was a little bit more closed off to the idea and sticking to her religious beliefs, which is completely understandable. And then towards the end, she completely surprised me and didn't wear garments to your wedding. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I was so excited. I was like, yeah, mom, you wear that dress. And I think it's so amazing because you're opening up yourself, but also through your brave example, you are showing people around you, hey, there's another way. Hey, it doesn't have to be like this. There doesn't have to be the pain and the suffering. We can just accept ourselves. And you, let me give you the permission to accept me for who I am. And thank you for being open enough to accept me as I am. And just seeing her progress throughout was just so awesome. And at the end when she said, yeah, I'm on my way out of the church, like, I got a little emotional. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. Because you never forced it on her. You just led by example. And you showed her that you can have a beautiful, happy life and a beautiful, happy family outside of the church, which is something they tell you is not possible. So I just commend you for your bravery and for setting that example. Were there any other relationships like that that were strained at first and then maybe have blossomed and have become more accepting since you've been more vocal and had your podcast and the show has come out?
I don't think I have. I think the beginning of our relationship, year one, was a sifting process, and those who were going to stay had already stuck around. I didn't have to do any of that sifting, actually. It all sort of happened very organically, where those who were going to stay in our life and be accepting, like from the beginning, Mormon or not, decided that for themselves. Mm. I don't think the show has changed any relationship of mine in my life. What about you?
I have had just an overwhelming positive response. And yeah, it's just been really beautiful to receive all the love and the validation. I mean, and people have just been really, really kind, and people have admitted, I didn't see it this way before, and your show really opened my eyes, and, you know, things like that. And members of the church, and I honestly didn't keep any close people in my life that were Mormon after I left the church. Most of my close people like left also. And then
aside from your family.
And then my family, you know, I
tried hard not to be that angry ex-Mormon because my parents were still going and I'm really close with them. And so to be able to have a part and like witness my parents' transformation was just like, I was blown away and just so proud of them. And it's just amazing to be in this family of like rad people who are, you know, my parents are in their 60s.
Yeah.
She was born in the church. Like, she knows nothing else. And it's just so cool. And I'm so thankful that I didn't push it, and that I was like, you know, patient, and that I didn't expect it. And honestly, like, I did that because I love them and I want to be close with them. And I didn't do it because I thought they were going to leave. I was just like, I want to maintain this relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to be close with them. And I don't want to screw this up. So how can I do that? And the fact that they did step away was just like a freaking biggest cherry on top ever. You know, it's so great. You know, another relationship that has evolved since the show has been my ex, Shane. And he's seemingly progressing in a way where he's more willing to be around us and more wanting to have family time and being kind and willing to talk to Lena, whereas at the end of the show, he wasn't at all. So that's huge. And we hope to get him on our podcast before long, and he can kind of talk about it. But we, up to this point, we really haven't had much of a conversation. We're real, real patient, real respecting of boundaries with him. And so it's kind of all happening in real time with him right now. So
that's amazing. I love hearing that. And I do think that with time, things will change and heal. And he seems happy, at least from the show. He's like, yeah, I have friends and I have great kids. And so I think it can only go up from there. One thing that I wanted to mention is just how powerful the other facets of the show were. For example, shedding literal light on LGBTQ policies within BYU, lighting up the Y. Something about that, it just really, really got to me. I was trying and watching it with Jonathan. I'm like pretending I'm not crying. I'm like, I'm fine. Because something so simple to show solidarity to people who feel like they have to hide who they are, or they literally have to hide who they are in order to go to this school. And it just hit close to home for me. I had a family member who lived in Utah. He was, I think, 20 when he committed suicide. And we found out later he was in Mormon support groups of people who were gay and trying to figure that out. And it's just so heartbreaking. I don't think people realize the impact that these doctrines have on young kids and even adults. It's just really devastating, the huge amount of people who are suffering because of it. And so I wondered if you could speak to, based on your experience with your podcast and the guests that you've had on, what are some things that you are finding are helping people who are still within the church and dealing with their identities, or things that you feel you can support them on if they choose to remain in the church?
Yeah, I feel strongly about people who claim to be allies who are members of the church. And if you claim to be an ally, to specify what you mean by that, and to clearly state to your queer people that you do not believe the doctrine of the church on homosexuality, that you don't agree with it, and that you feel like being gay, being yourself, being anything that's not in the box is loved by God and is no less than, and that they outright disagree with that. Because if you don't say that, then you are complicit, then you are aligning with the church. And if you say you're a member of the church, then you are saying, I agree with the church. And
right,
unless you specifically say you're not. And so I think a lot of people avoid that, and they want to be welcoming, and they want to say, oh, everybody's welcome here. Yeah, this is such a nice place to be. Like, we love you. But you don't. Like, the doctrine states there is not equality here. And
So if you claim to be an ally, it's really important to specify that. And it doesn't mean that you can't be Mormon. If you're not there yet in your journey, but you want people to feel safe and like actually safe with you and not have to put on a fake front or be secretly suicidal, then you got to be straight up and you got to actually talk about this fully and not pretend like it's not there.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard to witness people who seem to be on the fence where they're saying, oh, no, I love gay people, but then they still completely support the church. And I know it's a hard place for them. If I can have some empathy and compassion for them, it's a hard place to be in because you're supposed to take in every part of the church and you're not supposed to cherry pick if you're a true Mormon, if you're a true believing Mormon. And so it's a hard place to be in. But I think what you guys are doing is showing and shedding light on the fact that people are actively being harmed by this doctrine. And if they believe that God wants the best for his children, then that should be taken down. Like, it should be written out of the church's rules immediately, because I personally don't think that there is a God who wants to damn his children to hell for being the way that he made them to be. It doesn't really make any sense to me. Or I personally wouldn't want to worship a God that feels that way. So I think it would take a lot for them to kind of separate those things and think for themselves and critically think, which the church also doesn't highly recommend, but take some critical thought on, is this what God really wants? And by me supporting the church on this harmful doctrine, what is that doing to my relationships now? Let's forget about the afterlife or the promises of the afterlife. Afterlife, what is happening now to the people who are being affected by this? And how can I support them right here? And how can I make them know that they're worthy of love? And how can I tell them that you're perfect and you don't need to change and you can be who you are? I think that's the most important thing. But it does take a lot for someone to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And they are in a tricky spot and the church puts them there and it's unfair, you know, because there's a lot to lose. I think that one way that I've seen people do it is they use personal revelation as the thing that trumps everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
that's the new thing.
they make it real personal for themselves. And that's why usually what you're saying, this difficult spot, is the reason that people don't usually make these changes in themselves until it comes very close to home.
Exactly.
Until it's a family member, until it's their child, because it is so difficult. And so when you can really connect emotionally with the problem, that's when changes start to happen. And I've noticed in my experience that change does not happen when you push people, right? When you rock the boat, they hold on tighter. Change happens when you back off and you just be yourself and you share your authenticity without threatening them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they feel safe enough to reflect. Then they can relax and they can start allowing their wheels to turn. And that is the only way that you will impact change, like that you will be able to have an influence on people who are still in the church is by being less threatening and backing off. And that's a hard thing to do. I will say it's a hard thing to do because we have every right to be angry. We have every right to be outspoken and to talk about all the damage and the harm. And I often do that, like on my Instagram account, I'm there supporting the ex-Mormons. I'm there supporting the LGBTQ people. And I'm providing a safe space for us to like vent, to process, to be able to be seen and heard. And it's not a place for, you know, Mormons to come to feel like I'm being compassionate for them because, you know, most of the time I'm not in that headspace. I'm not feeling for them. I'm more like, how can I support my people? How can I be there for them? And then, you know, that's why I think in social media and all this stuff, it's like voluntary. When you're ready to go there and look at that, then you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to, type of thing. And so, that's kind of where I feel the connection between members and non-members it's often just like an avoidant thing where members don't want to look at the hard truth and decide and be, you know, actually talk about it. We're super good at avoiding and skirting around issues in the church.
Oh, 100%. I feel like with anything when it comes to the doctrine, if you're not physically shaken awake by something, you won't wake up. Because why? What's the benefit? You're going to potentially lose your friends and your family and your community and your identity. And there's a lot that you have to rebuild. And no one's going to just one day be like, you know what? I'd like to redefine who I am. I'd like to just shake everything down and start from scratch. Like, nobody wants to do that. But once it happens and you're on the other side of it, it's always so worth it, because then you're like, oh, this is who I really am. This is who I want to project to the world. This is how I want to show up. This is who I want to love. And it's so rewarding. But it does take a lot. Lena, I'm wondering for you, what are some things that you've noticed, your favorite tidbits from your podcast guests that you would want to amplify even more?
I think the feeling of just knowing that you are not alone in the process has been the biggest gift, I think, since starting Peace Out, which is before we had the podcast, Sal and I were listening to people's interpretation of our experience. And once we decided, like, we're going to do this, it was taking our story and being able to share it in a way that felt authentic to us. And I think that's exactly what the Peace Out community is it's inviting people from either ex-Mormon or Christian or whatever background who are queer to be able to share their own personal experience in a way that feels good to them, that's not misinterpreted by anyone else. And I think through those misinterpretations, we all adopt different perceptions and perspectives of other people's experiences. And it's so harmful. Like, I can think back to I want to wear a shirt that says, I'm sorry for whatever I said when I was Mormon. Because
yeah.
I know, you know, like, I know that people in my life who I no longer get to talk to because they've decided to not be a part of my life for whatever reason, being queer, and they're still Mormon, I understand, and I have a lot of empathy for them because we've been on both sides.
Yeah.
We know what it feels like. But if they could just, anyone, if this is you, whoever it is who's listening, open yourself up to the possibility of being wrong. This is where human connection lies, right? And the humility of just saying, maybe I didn't know. Maybe I didn't have all the answers. Maybe I wasn't as sure in my, you know, testimony as I thought I was, or whatever it is. It's like, allow for the discrepancies, allow for the messiness, because I don't know, there's just so much connection that can happen when you see someone's like real raw truth, which we see time and time again on the podcast with all different walks of life, all different kinds of people, trans, non-binary, gay, straight, whatever, like ex-Mormons, ex-Christian. We all have something very deeply in common.
Absolutely. I love that. The real raw truth, amplifying people's voices, being a space for the raw vulnerable things, no misconceptions, being spicy on your social media platforms, which is great. I love that you know your audience, because, you know, if people, active Mormons who want to question the church, want a podcast, they can go to Mormon Stories, where it's a little bit more gentle, right? And if they want something spicy and something that they can laugh at and something they can be like, yes, that's me, or I get that, or that resonates and that pisses me off, or yeah, I want to stand up and scream amen to that, they can go to your page. Mm-hmm. So it's great that you are owning your voice. I think that's the biggest thing. And that's probably the through line of this entire episode, is understanding who you are, amplifying that, and just shining your light, because that's all we can really do to help people wake up and see something different. So with that in mind, what is your spicy Linda Listen statement for our audience? Something that you want to say with conviction to anyone who's pissed you off, or any type of advice that you have for our listeners?
My Linda Listen would be to own where you're at right now. Own it and don't be ashamed, and admit that this is where you're at right now and that could change. And change is a sign of growth. So many people avoid taking a stand. They're afraid to speak. They're afraid to be who they are because it is against status quo, because it will shake things up, because it's out of the code for their family, for their community. But I have discovered that our purpose in life, the thing that I'm deciding for now is the purpose of our life, is to be ourselves, because there's only one of each of us. And the more we can lean into our authenticity, the more we are living our purpose. And so when you don't own that and you try to make other people comfortable, you're not living your purpose. And you are, it's an evolution. Mm. We are always changing. We are always growing. We are always evolving. And so being your truest self in this moment is you living your purpose. So own it and be unapologetic about it and learn and grow and be open and just be who you are right now in this moment and don't be sorry for it.
I love it. Amen. Linda, listen, be you.
Linda, listen.
Lena, do you have one?
Let's see. I just taught this beautiful yoga class at the park this morning, and so my brain and my body are just like so zen. So my Linda listen is just take time for yourself to breathe, come back home to the breath, get comfortable in the uncomfortable, and just allow yourself to just be.
I love it. Beautiful. Well, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your story and being vulnerable and for elevating other people's voices on your podcast. I look up to you guys and what you guys have been able to create. So just thank you.
Thank you.
Same. Thank you.
Proud of you. Happy to know you.
Oh, same. So where can people find you? List all of your handles and your podcast and anything that you're working on.
We are mostly living on Instagram. We're planning on taking TikTok by storm here this year. That's our goal, to be that another lesbian, sexy lesbian TikTok couple.
Yes.
I'm at Coming Out Coach on Instagram. Lena is
Becoming Lena on Instagram. Our website is sallyandlena.com. And our podcast is Peace Out Podcast.
Amazing. Any final thoughts before we go?
Love all of you. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here and watching this. Definitely.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much for watching. And until next time, follow your highest excitement, be conscious, and be well.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, it would mean a lot if you could like and subscribe on YouTube and leave a review or a comment to help with our visibility. You can also find me on social media at cults2consciousness or reach out by email at cults2consciousness@gmail.com.